Greetings to everyone from around the world. This is a Sunday sermon recording from Father Mike of Our Lady of the Hills Parish, here in Southwest Ohio. I am your host, Ishmael Ali, and here is Father Mike's sermon.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading of the Holy Gospel according to John. John was standing with two of his disciples as he watched Jesus walk by, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard what John said, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following him, and he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you will see." So they went and saw where Jesus was staying. And they stayed with him that day. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who heard John and followed Jesus. He first found his own brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Then they brought him to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You will be called Cephas," which means Peter, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, Caleb, God has said to you, "Come and see." And you have come and you have saw. And they stayed with him that day. So we invite you to stay with us for the rest of your life on this earth. You ain't gone. You stay with us. I remember the first time I ate a tamale. Bryce, do you know what a tamale is? Okay, you know. Does anybody not know what a tamale is? In case you don't, Marianne will explain it. A tamale is a Mexican dish of seasoned meat wrapped in cornmeal dough and steamed or baked in corn husks. That's a tamale, right? I think I got it right. So the filling inside is very tasty. I mean, you put in beef or chicken or pork. You could put a lot of things inside there. But you have to peel away the corn husk in order to get to the inside and eat it properly. I didn't know that. So here I am, munching on my first tamale, chewing mightily on corn husks. I'm a dumb gringo. When I ate my first tamale, I almost choked.
Yeah.
That corn husk is very tough, and it's hard to eat. Now I know why my Mexican friends were laughing at me. And I defended myself saying, "I'm Polish. I ate the tamale like I eat a cabbage roll." You know, we don't take off the cabbage. But I tell you, once they peeled that back for me, that inside tasted so good, and I haven't stopped eating them since. Good down to La Cascada, great tamales. When I was attending Catholic catechism in my youth, the sisters taught us that our bodies, our flesh, must be discarded like a tamale corn husk. "The flesh corrupts our souls," they said, "corrupts us with sin." And did not Jesus himself say in John 6:63, "It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh is of no avail." Our body, which is the flesh, human flesh, is nothing unless it is redeemed by the body of Jesus on the cross that you see here. It was his body that makes our bodies acceptable to God. And we are so acceptable to God, look what St. Paul says. He wrote on behalf of God, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? You have been purchased at a great price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." This teaching is completely opposite what I've learned from Sister Kunigunda when I was a little kid. You know, the body's no good. All the body does is sin. But that's not true. You're a temple. We're temples. And God lives inside of us. The body is holy. And then starting in 1979 to 1984, Pope St. John Paul II gave 129 talks entitled "The Theology of the Body," you know, to uphold the sacredness of the body. Pope John Paul gave to the church a revolutionary idea that no, our bodies are important. They're sacred to God. They are not to be discarded and not dealt with. The body is used by God. And here's what he wrote. This is revolutionary. John Paul wrote, "The body, and it alone, is capable of making visible that which is invisible, the spiritual and the divine God." Do you realize what St. John Paul II was saying? That God uses our flesh, our bodies, to make himself visible to the world. God has a love affair with human bodies. He created us, right? And everything he created, he saw as good. So our bodies are very important to God. And I find it hard to believe that God would want to use my old chubby body to make his invisible presence visible to the world. Your body is so important to God that he died to get our bodies back from Satan. Remember, we were captured by Satan due to the original sin. And so now God won us back, and God will now use our bodies. So I now ask this very important question. How do I glorify God in my body? How do I use my body to reveal God? How do you do it? God wants that, but here's a few thoughts on how we can please God with our bodies. First things first, you have to choose who's going to live there. You know, who's going to live in your body? Will you open your soul to the Holy Spirit, or will you let the devil in? How can you flee from the devil if he's living in your heart? That's a big statement there. How can you flee? You can't flee if he's already sitting on the throne of your heart. Now, the virtue most needed to kick out the devil is temperance. I'm coming to appreciate the virtue of temperance so much. Thomas Aquinas said that is the summit of all the virtues, temperance. Temperance is where you choose not to do something that would be sinful. You make that choice. I'm not going to use my body for the sin. Temperance requires a lot of practice. The problem is, you see, Satan makes sin so pleasurable, doesn't he? I love sin in the sense that it's pleasurable. I hate sin that it will destroy my relationship with God. But as far as, you know, my animal instincts, wow, sin is pleasurable. That's why so many people do it, right? That's why so many people do sin, because sin either looks good, feels good, or makes you fat. God bless that child. Has a lot of good lungs that would make her a priest. Yeah, that's right. Oh, there goes mom. Oh, well. I can outshout any baby. So if your baby cries, I can yell. So anyways, let me repeat that. Sin looks good, feels good, or makes you fat. Guess which one I chose? Don't say nothing, Michelle. Temperance helps you. It's a virtue that helps you overcome sin. I'll give you some examples. Temperance helps you overcome the sin of revenge by showing mercy. The sin of pride by practicing humility. The sin of anger by being patient. The sin of overeating by moderation. Guess what? That's the one I'm working on. I haven't succeeded yet, Joyce. I need your secret. But that's what temperance does, you see. It helps you to overcome your animal instincts because we are animals. St. Thomas More said that, or Thomas Aquinas. We're all animals, and we have these urges we must control, and temperance is the control. I'm going to tell you, when you get out of bed in the morning and your foot hits the floor, you're in war. You're waging a spiritual war every day against the sinful desires that's in your body. But with temperance, and you overcome temptations and you follow God and do His will and love God, when your heart is filled with the Holy Spirit, there is no room for the devil to get in. Can I get an amen on that? It's true. It's true. Secondly, your body is a temple where God dwells. What's a temple? A temple is a place where God is worshiped. This is a temple. This we call church, but it's a temple. We worship God here. And each believer, you and me, we are mobile churches because we're a temple. So you take the church outside these walls when you live and move and have being, wherever you do that, that you are a living temple, you know? Everything you say, everything you do should worship God by showing Him respect and gratitude. Every day, ask yourself these two questions. What am I going to do or say today that will show God I love Him? What am I going to do or say today to make God's invisible love visible? And how do you do it? With your body, living temples where the Holy Spirit dwells. I'm fascinated by hands. Hands, to me, is the main tool that God uses to reveal Himself. It's a powerful tool. I'll give you an example with a hand. A hug to someone who is sad. Cooking food for someone who is hungry. Washing the hair of a sick person. That seems like so inconsequential. But in my 40 years of hospital work, patients would just perk up and be happier if they got their hair washed. They didn't feel dirty. And I remember when I was in a hospital, I know what they mean. It felt so good. Just, you know, take a bath, wash your hair. And it just made me realize I'm still alive, even though I felt sick, but I'm still alive. Washing a person's hair who is sick, performing surgery to save a life, drying the tears of a crying child, or even just petting your dog or your cat. All these actions glorify God, all of them. Hands are sacred. The priest's hands are not the only ones that are sacred. To me, the hands of a nurse are so sacred. One of the greatest enjoyable blessings I ever gave was all the nurses at Children's Hospital in a certain ward, they lined up and I blessed their hands. I blessed the hand because it is their hands that gave comfort to the sick and to the dying child. Their hands were sacred. Last Sunday, I celebrated Mass at Holy Trinity in West Union. I was not feeling good because the furnace in the rectory went out. My bedroom was 45 degrees. I couldn't sleep well at all. I summoned all my four cats, picked them up, and threw them under the covers. Keep your daddy warm. And in fact, they wanted to go under the covers. They were cold too. So we all huddled together, four cats under my blanket, and we tried to stay warm, but you know, it was so cold. But you know what? I didn't complain. I thought about the people of Ukraine right now, as I speak, that have below 10 degree weather, and they have no heat at all. I was just reading about Russia, the poor Russian people. They right now in Moscow, because of the war and the infrastructure has not been maintained, 22 million people in Moscow, in that area, are living under minus 22 degrees. Minus 22 degrees, because they have no heat either. So I just right away thought of not only the Ukrainians and Russians, I thought of like just homeless people. I have seen homeless people lay on grates to get warm at night, the city grates. So I didn't feel too bad. 45 degrees was a heat wave for them. But anyways, I wasn't feeling good. And I had to go down there, and I try to always give a good sermon, always work at it very hard. But my normal energy was iced out. You know, when you're freezing, you know, all my energy went to keeping my body warm. And that's a lot of work to keep my body warm. Well, before I gave the sermon there, God sent me encouragement from a little boy before I gave my sermon. 2-year-old Houston, son of Sarah and Nathan. He was sitting in the back pew. This cute little kid smiles all the time. I don't say this derogatorily, he has an apple-shaped head, meaning it's very round and very wide. And when he smiles from ear to ear, it's like a Cheshire cat. And all his beautiful little teeth, and he smiles, and his lips turn up, and his blue eyes just glow. And when you see him, it's like, wow, what a wonderful temple of the Holy Spirit is this little child. So here I am, before I was preaching, he gets up, he stands up in the pew, stands up on his mother's lap. And all of a sudden, he starts waving at me. Vociferously, like, and I can say, "Hello, Father Mike," and he's waving his hand and smiling, and I wanted to acknowledge it, but I didn't want to make a scene, Joyce, you know. So this is what I do, like that. He went with it again. "Hello, Father Mike," and he's waving that hand, smiling, and I tell you, his joy was so contagious that it lifted my spirit, lifted me spiritually. And I'll tell you this, I delivered the best boffo sermon I've ever given, kind of like the one you're hearing today. That's a little self-serving. I know it's self-serving, but I ended up giving a really good sermon when I felt sick. This little boy made God's love very visible to me when I needed it the most.
Now go and do the same. Amen. In closing, one more little thought. Pope Francis has told his priests that the three things a priest has to do in a sermon. A priest must make it apply to your life. I hope I did that today. A priest must be simple and not too sophisticated. I am simple. I can't be sophisticated. So I got that covered. This is the third one. The priest should not preach over 8 minutes. That's going to be a tough one. I'll work on that. Mary, just take your watch and go like this, okay? Name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
This recording of Father Mike's sermon was produced and edited by me, Ish Ali. The intro music is Amazing Grace, sung by LaGrave Avenue CRC of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Thank you to Father Mike for a great sermon. Previous recordings of Father Mike's sermons can be found at stmaryhillsboro.org. That's S-A-I-N-T, maryhillsboro.org, and on the St. Mary Hillsboro YouTube channel. If you enjoyed this program, please donate and help sponsor future sermon recordings. You can send checks to St. Mary Catholic Church, 212 South High Street, Hillsboro, Ohio, 45133. All donations are tax deductible and greatly appreciated. Thank you for listening.